T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We think we got a great player with Minka Fitzpatrick, who was obviously a Pro Bowl player. When you go into a draft, you hope you pick a player of that caliber wherever you're picking in the first round, and we know we did because he is that caliber player. So now it's different because we won't be picking, but we feel good about who we got.
Kevin Colbert right there. You know that guy, Minka Fitzpatrick. He was pretty good once he got to the Pittsburgh Steelers and got his way out of Miami. And that was with Richie Walsh, that interview with Kevin Colbert right there. Steelers general manager. Doesn't talk very often. At the Combine is one of the times that he will go on record and say some things, but that's just about it. We're the PM team, presented by the Chafin Lujan Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right. Arthur Motes in here. Andrew Filippone not. He will be back tomorrow on the show. He has been burning the proverbial candle at both ends.
He's big timing.
National and local in one day.
Wow.
Double the Filippone, double the fun.
Wow. I mean, you can never get enough of Mr. Filippone.
Oh, no.
Come on now.
No.
There's no such thing as too much Filippone in people's sports talk lives. So that's funny to me, playing that little clip about Minka Fitzpatrick, who we know came in here and was great and was, along with T.J. Watt, those two having big years, really transformed this defense into kind of a dynamic ball hawk unit. But we also know, and it has been said a million times since that trade was made, how out of character that was for the Steelers, how if Dan Rooney had been alive and in charge, it literally would not have happened. And people don't say that as a joke. People say that as a statement of fact.
Yes.
Your Ed Bouchettes, the people that were around that knew how he liked to do business, so that it just wouldn't happen. I bring this up because the NHL trade deadline was yesterday, and I know you like to throw a little hockey in there.
Oh, yeah,
you
man.
Like to get in under the different sports. Patrick Marleau coming to Pittsburgh. Connor Sherry's back. Even though his own GM can't say his last name correctly still. It's Sherry, by the way, for everybody that's out there. When you say Connor Sherry, you're disrespecting that poor
not
guy.
Not a Sherry.
Evan Rodriguez coming in. So three new players, and they get assimilated onto a roster that's only icing 20 non-goalies on a given night. It's 12 forwards, 18, I should say, actually. It's 12 forwards, it's 6 defensemen, so you're turning over like almost a quarter of your roster with some of these moves. Why does this not happen more in the NFL? Like, the Fitzpatrick trade is going to be talked about, Arthur, for years to come.
No question.
Not just because of how impactful it has been for the team, but because deals like that, not just for the Steelers, but really across the league, even with a slight uptick of late, are still super rare.
Well, I was going to say, if you really look at it, this was probably the first year where the NFL flirted with the idea of blockbuster trades in terms of seeing a Jalen Ramsey get traded, a Marcus Peters get traded, obviously Minka Fitzpatrick. I feel like in the NFL, teams are more bent on drafting guys, and if they're going to make a trade, they do it in the offseason because you have a lot more time to get into the flow of an organization, to learn the schemes and the playbooks. I think in hockey and even in basketball, because those sports, I feel like they rely more on the ability versus a ton of plays, whereas in football, I've been into games under Dick LeBeau where you got 60 calls. Could you imagine trading for a guy in the middle of the year and him coming in there on a Monday and expecting him to be up to speed by that Sunday? Like, that's the part.
So it's funny you bring that up. Expecting him to be up to speed, it's way more of a mental game as far as the set pieces because it isn't free-flowing and what have you. Mm-hmm. And every other sport of the three major other sports has a major trade deadline. It's always active.
Yes.
Baseball is too. Would you have been excited as a Steelers player if deadlines were like that in the NFL? And guys were coming in where you recognize the name? Or is what you're saying such a legit deal where it's hard to learn and get up to speed that in most cases you'd have probably been like,
I would have been excited depending on the position. If we're talking wide receiver or pass rusher, yes, because that takes it doesn't take as much of the strategy. I mean, you think about a guy like Randy Moss, for example, right? When he went to the Patriots, it didn't matter what route he was running. You knew all he has to do is run one route, a go route.
Right.
Throw your hand up, throw the ball there. That's instant impact. We talk about pass rushers. Hey, you tell that guy, hey, look, man, don't worry about what the rest of us are doing up here. You go get the quarterback. That's perfect. Now, in the secondary, it gets a little more difficult because the different coverages.
What about a corner, though? Like a guy that's a true man.
Well, it would
corner.
Have to be 100% locked down. Think Darrell Revis.
But then you can't. If your team is his own team and you bring in a guy because it's too tempting to pass up.
Now you have to adjust everybody else to him. And I know in theory it sounds simple. Oh, man, we'll just play zone everywhere else except him. But the way the zone defenses are distributed and how the quarters of the field are broken up, when you start playing one guy man, everybody else zone, it changes so many other responsibilities that if you're not accustomed to that, and especially we're talking in the middle of a season, these trades are happening. I mean, these guys are, what, 60 games in right now. That's different. So I think that's why when you talk about football, it's so much harder to do that, especially when we're talking marquee guys. Now, I would love for it to evolve to that, but like I said, it would have to be at those at the
so there's
right
untradable
positions.
Like areas. Like you're not going to see a center getting traded
right.
randomly in the middle of the season. It would
no,
be counterproductive.
No quarterbacks can't
that would
do
be,
it.
That would be the unbelievable.
Right,
one.
But I mean, but when you look at some of these players, it's like, oh, these are legit threats, legit ball players, or in this term in hockey's legit guys who can go score goals, guys who are instant offense.
Do you think as an outside linebacker, you could have been somebody who thrived? So a trade deadline happens. Somebody's like, Arthur Motes is having a solid season. He might not cost us a ton in draft capital just because of the way the NFL views draft picks versus other sports. We can get Arthur, who's got seven sacks right now, for a sixth round pick or a fifth round pick. Do you think you would have been able to thrive in a new setting?
I think as a pass rusher, yes. But I also would say, I don't think that I would have had the same impact on the game in terms of when you think of, and just because we're talking Pittsburgh, right? The 3-4 scheme. We know how much these guys have to drop in coverage, or they used to have to drop in coverage a lot more. Now it's getting back towards TJ and Bud just being able to rush 80-90% of the time. But prior to that, these guys would have to do coverage responsibilities and things like that. So when you go to a new team, the rushing element, without a doubt, I mean, just being able to pin your ears back and go. Yeah, you're going to love that. You would thrive in that. But when it would come time to the different coverages and the conversation and the one-off checks, that's the thing. So when we just talk about some of these checks, if I told you the play is a cover three play, well, as an outside linebacker, you're going to have a curl flat drop, which is underneath the numbers, 10 to 12 yards downfield. Simple. But that's versus a regular formation. Now, if it went to empty, where that means nobody in the backfield, is just all wide receivers, running backs line up as receivers, well, now that changes everything. Now I have to know what that check is. Oh, now if they motion and it goes, you know, three guys on one side to three guys on the other side, now that's another check. So all of that stuff, now instead of me being the player that I am, the athlete that I am, now I'm spending too much time
thinking. You're back to a rookie.
Absolutely. Now it slows you down. You're not going to have that same impact. So that was the one thing that I would say would hinder a player, especially a pass rusher, in a midseason trade.
Do you get jealous just – so you said you wish you saw it more.
Do you get jealous, man,
when you watch – like, yesterday was a crazy day in the NHL.
It was awesome. I mean, you think about a guy like Connor Sherry, for example, right? And how much he was talked about in his return coming from Buffalo to Pittsburgh. He's not Sid the Kid, but he was talked about so much.
Oh, no,
much
I know.
Just because
people got excited about
it. Just because the trade, you get excited. And it's not a knock on him, but it's just the excitement that's associated with players being traded, guys coming to different organizations. You speak highly of them. You're excited about that happening. In football, we don't really get that. So, yeah, I mean, you're like, man, do you know how awesome it would be to be a part of just midseason conversation? Let me dominate the airwaves for just a day or two because I'm the new guy in town. But when it comes to sports like football,
I feel like
so
you would have
strategy,
had. I feel like there's way more pressure. Like what you're describing, Patrick Marleau's never won a cup. He's going to end up. If he plays next year, he's got an Iron Man streak that's going back, I think, a decade.
I was going to say, man, he's up there. And, yeah.
It's 800-plus games, I want to say. It's like 846 or
hey,
something.
Man, shout out to the very seasoned vets. That's what we like to call it. A very, very seasoned
Yeah, he's
vet.
More salt than pepper at this point in the beard right now. I think it's more like going
hey,
gray.
Man,
but
they call him a classic adult. That's what he is. I like
He's a vintage. He's got like the new license plate on himself. Well, I think the thing with him is it's like there's an excitement for him, too, because he's on a team where he definitely knows he's going to have a real shot at a cup. But what you're describing for football suggests to me that if it were to happen more in the NFL, guys would be way, way more apprehensive about like, oh, crap.
Yeah, because it's just a lot
like,
that
I can't,
goes with it.
I can't get into this well, quickly and get what I be what I need to be there.
Well, because the thing is, we talk about the expectations that are associated with the trade. They never make a trade and they say, hey, how is this guy going to hurt the team? What is this guy going to do to hold back the pins? No, it's what can this guy bring to the table? Mm-hmm. How can he help these guys get over the hump? Mm-hmm. What can he do to get these guys off of this losing streak and get them getting some wins and really excite the fan base that much more? In football, when you think about those expectations, you're like, man, you want me? I got to do this.
And you only have a couple of games, too, right. to do it. Like, you have your trade deadline, and a thing will happen. A deal, like you said, this past year, deals happen, but every game is so magnified. If Patrick Marleau has a bad first game with the Penguins, it's like, whatever. There's 20 more regular season games.
We saw it firsthand. Jason Zucker, he gets traded. He plays that Tuesday night. Terrible, right? We all talked about, man.
He said he was bad.
He said, my hands were bad. I just looked rough. He comes back the next game that weekend, scores, oh, it's all good. In football, you come out there and play that Sunday after the trade and play bad, oh, they're bashing you that whole week. Oh, this is a terrible trade. That other team won that trade. They were smart to get rid of this guy.
Why did the Detroit Lions trade for Arthur Motes? Right, what can he do to help the Lions?
And God forbid you have two bad games. Oh,
well,
man.
Well, then you've had like almost 20% of your season.
Right. Whereas in hockey or even basketball and baseball – you can have a 5 to 10 game stretch of being bad and then get hot.
Right.
And now they're going to be speaking of you, man, this guy's good. He's hey, the man, best this is why ever. You did that trade right here. That's why you make these moves. Hey, shout out to the GM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.